Comfort and Tuxedo Junction on KOIN in Portland. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. President Ford sounds some traditional Republican themes in a political speech in Ohio. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Mr. Ford addressed a GOP fundraising dinner Thursday night in Cleveland. He stressed the idea that too much government spending is bad for the nation and that big government does not work to solve economic problems. Mr. Ford mentioned some goals Republicans can work for, which he says will help the country get back to sound economic health.
If we can establish guidelines for business without overregulation, if we can unleash the great power of American free enterprise and get the great American labor force back to work at full strength in a sound and free economy, then we can honestly declare our independence from recession and high unemployment here in the United States.
The president is now back in Washington. Friday, he goes to Fort McHenry in Baltimore to help observe the 4th of July and to kick off the nation's bicentennial year. More news in a moment.
In Philadelphia, Thomas Jefferson writes a Declaration of Independence. In London, George III promises the rebels a smart blow. In New York, Sir William Howe's invasion fleet arrives in force. It's all in a special edition of Time magazine devoted to the world and the week of July 4th, 1776. You are there as a British naval squadron is repulsed at Charlestown, South Carolina, and as Abigail Adams demands rights for women in the special 1776 issue of Time magazine. It's the one with Thomas Jefferson on the cover. On sale now.
Things like a taste, smoothness, and a drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. A taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability that say, this beer, Budweiser, is the king of beers.
When you say Budweiser,
you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Two men are missing and feared dead in flash flooding which hit Las Vegas Thursday night. One of the hardest hit areas was Caesar's Palace, the plush resort hotel where about 400 cars in the parking lot were flooded. The high water also resulted in several power failures. Extremely serious damage has occurred in North Dakota and Minnesota after nearly a week of heavy rain. Up to 13 inches of rain fell in parts of the two states. Crop losses are being estimated at as high as $1.5 billion. The extent of damage in some areas was described by Ronald Afeld, Director of Disaster Emergency Services for the state of North Dakota.
We've got areas where you got holes in the ground from heavy erosion, 5, 10, 15 feet deep and 100 yards across. You see, this water is running not in the channel anymore. It just runs right through the fields, taking the crop, the topsoil, plus a developing a great big holes in the ground.
Officials say the floods virtually wiped out this year's crops in North Dakota and Minnesota and may affect planting next year. The FBI Thursday night announced the arrest of Thero Wheeler, believed to be one of the founders of the Symbionese Liberation Army. The 30-year-old Wheeler, an escaped convict, was picked up in Houston, Texas. FBI officials said Wheeler had gone to a hospital for a treatment of a gunshot wound. His identity was traced through hospital records. After nearly 8 years as the chairman of the board of Chrysler Corporation, Lynn Townsend has surprised the business world by announcing he will retire October 1st. Townsend has been under fire in recent months for his management of Chrysler, which has reported losses of $176 million since last summer. Washington military sources have confirmed the basic story in a San Diego newspaper, which reported that a Soviet nuclear submarine collided last year with an American nuclear sub in Soviet territorial waters. The San Diego Evening Tribune said the American sub Pintado was on an intelligence-gathering mission. The Washington sources told CBS News the incident did occur. However, they would not say what kind of a mission the Pintado was on, and they questioned whether the incident occurred in Soviet waters. Now this.
Nothing beats feeling good about yourself. Like what happens when you use Dial soap. Your whole body seems to come alive. Clean and refreshed. Bright and bouncy. You're one up on the whole world. You just can't buy a better deodorant soap than Dial. Or one that lasts longer.
Oh, it's your breath. You use Dial.
Breathing easy is an art.
that we learn right from the start. Gracious lungs, cooperate. Time now to appreciate. Lungs do not delight in smoke, have a tendency to choke. Air pollution is a sin, tends to do your two lungs in. Smoke and choke makes breathing sleazy. Clear the air for breathing easy.
Your Lung Association says that clearing the air is a matter of life and breath.
The U.S. Civil Service Commission says that homosexuals may not be arbitrarily denied federal jobs. The commission says it is complying with a series of recent federal court decisions, which make it illegal to deny federal employment to a person solely on the basis of his having engaged in homosexual activity. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
A jury in Seattle has found Washington State Senator August Martasich innocent of extortion and tax fraud charges. The jury returned its verdict 24 hours after receiving the case yesterday afternoon. A slight flicker of a smile played on the senator's lips as the bailiff read the verdict. Martasich had been accused of extorting $10,000 from two garbage contractors, garbage contractors, in 1971. The state of Oregon now has a Department of Energy. Governor Bob Straub has signed into law a bill creating such an agency with the authority to subpoena information concerning energy resources from producers and suppliers. Straub has also signed into law a bill lowering from 18 to 17 the minimum age males may marry without parental consent and raising the minimum age for females from 15 to 17. Speculation over when the Washington legislature may be called back into special session to deal with the school funding issue is no more. Governor Dan Evans says he will call lawmakers back to Olympia July 18th. The governor, earlier this week, vetoed the legislature's $65 million appropriation for levy relief because he said it wasn't enough. Speculation still persists, however, on whether lawmakers will comply with the governor's request. A power struggle between the Spokane School District and an organization representing 1,500 teachers is warming up day by day. At issue is a master contract between the district and the Spokane Education Association. The district has struck the last blow by deciding to adopt a salary schedule for next year, despite protests from the association that negotiations on wages, a master contract, and other issues continue. The first time in state history, Oregon residents have an opportunity to view the state's constitution and first laws. Secretary of State Clay Myers has placed the documents on display in the Capitol building in Salem. The documents are more than 130 years old and have been locked away in a tin box in a vault of the Secretary of State's office through the years. The weather for the Portland metropolitan area: late night and early morning clouds with mostly sunny afternoons through Friday and Saturday. Lows in the mid-50s, a little warmer during the daytime. High in the upper 70s Friday, near 80 on Saturday. Winds variable at 5 to 10 miles per hour tonight. Chance of any measurable rain, 10% tonight, Friday and Friday night. The temperature right now in downtown Portland stands at 64 degrees. That's KOIN News at 8 and a half after 11. I'm Bill Garrity.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. It was the 18th century playwright William Congreve who said it. See how love and murder will out. And although a quarter of a century intervened before they did, that's what this story is all about. Appropriately enough, it starts with the more violent of the two.
Hold it, you! Freeze!
If that's the way you want it, Buster.
What's going on?
Okay, mister, you started it. Just no more sudden moves. And kill that heater. It's all right. Don't let the plane close fool you. I'm police. Detective Joe Lombardi, 45th. What is it, Barney? A holdup?
No, no, nothing like that. He's just a screwy neighborhood kid trying to pull a fast one for kicks. Hey, Joe! What you want to do that for? You killed him.
Our mystery drama, Murder Will Out, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Mason Adams. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Oh, great spirit, whose voice in the winds I hear, and whose breath give life to all the world, hear me.
The voice is Iron Eyes Cody of the Cherokee Nation. The words are a prayer first spoken 400 years ago by his people, a people who love the land.
Make me walk in beauty. Make my heart respect all you have made. Make me wise that I may know all you have taught my people, the lessons you have hidden in every rock.
In some Americans today, that spirit is reborn. Throughout the land, areas of thoughtless litter and pollution are being restored to their natural beauty. And yet we still have so far to go. So everyone must get involved. To contact the Keep America Beautiful team nearest you, write Keep America Beautiful, 99 Park Avenue, New York, New York. People start pollution. People can stop it.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Some people think we play ping pong all day. They're wrong. The USO isn't all fun and games. Today, the USO has millions of problems like this one in Germany.
My family's going crazy living in a tiny apartment. Where can we live?
Today's USO has millions of problems like this one in Asia.
I'm hooked on drugs. Where can I get help?
Or this problem in Athens.
Our marriage is breaking up. Can you help us?
Today's USO has little time for ping pong. We've got serious work to do. We've got lots of new problems here and overseas. The problems are big. How big? Well, if someone asks you, who needs the USO? Tell them,
we do! We do!
Over 5 million American military personnel and their families need today's USO. And because we get no government funds, we need all your support. Please give to USO through the United Way or local USO campaign.
In the city of New York, the police pride themselves on not being a police force, but a police service. Talk to any bedrock cop. Reach down through the layers of why he wanted to become a police officer, and you'll find that the great majority put service first, before pay, benefits, or power. That goes for almost any police force through the country. Easy to malign these days, not so easy to praise, because the weight of the crime grass is hard to sustain. But above all, a cop is human, and that works on both sides of the line.
Door's open. Come on in.
Okay, Captain.
You bring the coffee in.
It's right here. Thought you might want to chew me out first.
Yeah, I shouldn't drink coffee. It ginches my ulcer. You get it? I'll chew you out better with an aching gut.
Yes, sir. Any news on the Crocker kid?
Looks like he's going to make it. No thanks to you. The bullet went right through his chest, but managed to miss anything vital. How, I don't know. You should be as accurate on the range.
Yes, Captain.
And a hell of a lot less trigger happy. You know that boy is only 16.
He's 6 feet one, weighs 185, and he squeezed off 2 shots at me.
How? He wasn't armed.
It was nighttime. Street's badly lighted. Maybe he threw it away, but he had something in his hand, and I heard the shots.
Maybe you heard a backfire. Oh, damn. Prune Danish again. Why can't I ever get a cheese Danish? You want to know what he had in his hand?
Maybe it was a zip gun.
He had a bottle of beer. All right, so he heisted it. But his old man was hungover, and he sent him over to Barney's pub, and the kid left it a bottle of suds. So it's against the law. With what we have to handle in this precinct, it's worth making a federal case over.
It's kind of looking that way for me, isn't it?
Yeah, a couple of citizens' committees brewing, some pressure from the newsboys, and unfortunately, it's a good story for them if they start digging up old bodies. No, I didn't mean that the way it came out.
I know, Captain Stark.
Well, you should. Sal was my best friend. We rode a squad car together for 6 years. And when he... Well, I swear they... They fry this stuff. They boil the beans first, and then they fry them in dishwater. Call this coffee?
You're going to break me?
Well, I got to do something, Joe. I just can't sit still. You fired at him, and he wasn't armed.
There were two shots. I heard them.
A truck backfired. Oh, I know how it looked, Joe. You were tired just coming up out of the subway. You see a guy on the lam. You tell him to freeze, and he stops, turns, and it looks like he laid two on the line for you. A cop has a right to protect himself.
Reflex action. I pulled my gun.
But you didn't have to pull the trigger. You weren't hit, Joe.
I should wait to be?
You were in plain clothes. The bartender says you never even identified yourself as police before you fired.
Okay, Captain. You want my badge?
I don't. I understand. I don't approve, but I understand.
What do you want me to do? Hold back like my pop and get my brains blown out?
Oh, that's the whole trouble. That's what I mean when I say I understand. If Sal had moved as fast as you,
same
maybe...
deal. My pop got it right in front of that same lousy gin mill.
Now, wait a minute. You were only 5 years old when it happened. It wasn't that simple. You study the file.
I don't have to. I got it all from my mom all those years growing up, and I know the file like I know my own name. Fine,
All right, knock it off. You think if we'd had enough of a case, I wouldn't have nailed that Leslie Peavy? First off, we couldn't find him, and second off, there wasn't enough case against him as it stood to warrant anything beyond an APB. He got away.
Sure. You let this crumb bump kill my pop, one of your own, 25 years ago, and the guy is still running loose.
I'm not going to get caught up in this old argument, Joe. Except this far. It's your obsession that poisons you, not only as a police officer, but as a man. It's held you back your whole career. And now it's pretty near ended. You asked if I wanted your badge. No. No, I don't. But I think you need some time to think over just what you want to be. The Avenger or a real-life cop who knows his job isn't guns and shootouts, but good, solid service to the public. No, I could suspend you.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll take that from you because of my old friend. Now, instead of suspending you, I'm suggesting that... you got a lot of vacation time coming, like at least a month. You can start it today.
That's the same thing as suspension.
Not quite. And I want one thing in return.
What?
I want you to forget you're a cop for the next 4 weeks and try to get to know yourself, Joe. Wake up. Wake up, wipe the slate, lock your gun in a drawer. Learn to be a real human being. Okay, that's it. You're off duty as of right now.
I left the office choked with bile right up to the back of my tongue. I shouldn't have been mad at the old man, but I was. He said he understood, didn't he? But he didn't. It's my private war. I got as many citations as I have call down, censures. So maybe I'll never make it beyond detective third grade. Who cares? If I can't get the guy who rubbed out my father, I'll get enough to make up for it. And thinking all this, I'm back at the stop order book, running through its well-thumbed pages, back to that screwball name listed as having a warrant out on him even after 25 years. Leslie Peavy. And suddenly, I know what I'm going to do with that vacation I don't want. Morning, Green.
Hi, Joe.
We have XB31407, huh?
Again?
You know, Officer Green, you ought to take a tip from your predecessor, old Bunky. He just learned not even to ask when I came in, but went straight to the files and got it.
Okay, but don't get so uptight, Detective Third Grade Lombardi. I'll get your file for you. What you need it for beats me. You've seen it often enough, you ought to know it by heart. Here you are, XB3-1407.
Thanks. For the file, not the smart talk.
What are you breaking out on spots for? Oh, did that kid you winged buy it?
Nope. He's gonna make it.
Oh, thank the Lord.
Maybe. Maybe he wasn't up to anything this time, but he will be. I know the type. I can smell him. I can feel him. And someday, maybe some other cop will just give him enough of a break to get his ticket canceled. Because that time, it won't be a beer bottle in his hand. It'll be real heat. Saturday special, hideout gun, anything that shoots bullets and kills.
What's the matter, Joe? Did they set you down for what happened?
No.
Well, then how come you're so bitter? I mean, well, it's none of my business, but you're a good-looking young guy, and I know you got a sense of humor.
catch you off guard, you can be real nice. How come you get so little out of it? Why don't you have a girl, Joe? Why aren't you married?
You know what's in this file, Green?
Well, it's 25 years old. I haven't caught up on all my reading yet.
Well, I'll fill you in. See, my pop trusted people. He gave him a break anyways. One night he's coming home, same as I was last night, out of the same lousy subway by that same lousy gin mill. And he stops in for a beer. And there's nobody else there except Barney Saunders, the same bartender that came out last night. And this Leslie Peavy, see? Peavy has a gun, see? And he's holding up the joint. So my pop, see, he was a uniformed cop, and he was off duty in civvies. He pulls his own gun, and he tells the Peavy crumbum to drop his. The guy turns around, and before my pop gets a chance to do anything more, Peavy kicks a stool into his gut, and he takes out of there on a lamb. And Pop follows and sees him heading for the corner, and he yells at these police to stop. He fires one warning shot in the air, and this heist artist turns and squeezes one off that takes my pop right in the...
It's okay, Joe. I understand. Look, why don't you let it go, Joe? You're going to carry a monkey like that on your back all your life? Anyway, how are you going to find him after he's buried himself successfully all these years?
I just need a few things out of the file here first. And then I'm betting that I can find him and I can get him identified.
How?
I have a hunch by now he's safe enough to have surfaced somewhere. And with a name like Leslie Peavy, he shouldn't be that hard to get a fix on. I had copies made of the old faded snapshot of Peavy in the file and of his birth certificate. Also, the name and address of the one other witness besides the bartender. Then I drove out to the airport terminal at Kennedy to follow up my idea on how to get a lead on him. There were four PBs in the New York, the Queens, the Bronx, and the Brooklyn books, none in Staten Island. I eliminated those fast. Could I talk to Mr. PB, please? He's no longer at this number. Well, do you know where I might reach him? I see. Well, just to make sure, do you happen to recall his first name? I see. Do you recall if he was very tall or short? Very short. Thanks. That wouldn't be the man that I'm looking for. I see. There is no Mr. Peavy. You're a spinster lady. Your name's Peavy. Thank you so much. Beg pardon? Oh, no. Sorry. Sorry, ma'am. You're not on radio. Sorry to hear that. Recently? Are you just leaving to inter the body now? I see. And I did get the name right. That was Leslie Peavy. John Bramble Peavy. No, I'm happy to say he's not the man that I'm looking for. Well, I hadn't thought it would be that easy. I took out my notebook and pencil and started through the directories. 138 of them. I took my list. I went home to start running up a phone bill. On the 11th, Miami, Florida, I hit pay dirt.
This is George. What can I do for you this fine, bright day?
Is this Peavy's auto repair?
It sure is, brother.
I wonder if I could talk to your boss.
Oh, Leslie ain't here right now. Off visiting at the hospital. Back tomorrow. Try then.
Leslie? Leslie Peavy?
Yeah, that's the name. Excuse me, but we're busy.
So I made a blind cast and came up lucky with my fish. Now all I had to do was land him.
A quarter of a century, and suddenly, with the effort and small expense of a few phone calls, a man buried in anonymity has turned up. It seems almost too easy. Or to bring up another metaphor, first catch your hare, then skin him. This is only the beginning of Joe's compulsive quest for vengeance. I'll return shortly with Act 2.
There are times when you feel like rolling,
when the whole world's standing by. And you know just where you're going, and you know you're riding high. When the rest of the world is flying, you hit the road and you climb. 'Cause you're a free spirit, one of a kind.
A Buick isn't just A to B transportation. It's a means of expressing yourself, a way to live life on your terms. And that's why we make so many different kinds of Buicks, all shapes, all sizes. From Buick's Opel all the way up to Buick Electra. There are sedans, coupes, hatchbacks, two doors, four doors, even a three-door wagon. The 1975 Buicks, they give you all sorts of free-spirited ways to ride out the times with style. For you, that's important.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. Have you noticed the metric measurements on packaged foods at your supermarket lately? Soon the metric system of measurement will be commonplace all around the country, and you should be ready for it. Look carefully at the metric measurements on the foods you buy. They may seem bewildering at first, but they make a lot more sense than the system of measurement we're currently using. For example, right now, fluid measures are expressed in gallons, quarts, and pints. Dry measures are expressed in bushels, pecks, dry quarts, and pints. And a dry quart is 16% larger in volume than a liquid quart. By using the metric system, however, you only need to know one unit of measurement for liquid volume, the liter. All other fluid measurements are multiples of the liter. And similarly, dry volumes are measured by the gram and multiples of the gram. This has been a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system.
There's more than vindication involved in Joe Lombardi's search for the man who killed his father. That happened 25 years ago, and time is supposed to heal all wounds. But not the one that flaws Detective Joe Lombardi, unless he can rid himself of the specter who rides his shoulders, legs locked about his chest, like the legendary old man of the sea.
I don't know how they handled the investigation at the time. I was 5 years old and collecting baseball cards. All I knew this time, I was going to prepare a foolproof case before I made my move. I was a fool thinking it was that easy. The first place I went, naturally, was to the pub to talk to Barney. You know who I am, Barney?
Sure.
Barney, you knew this Leslie Peavy that shot my old man.
Knew him? Not all that much. Maybe I seen him a time or two in a bar before the night he tried to rob me, but don't get me wrong. He was no habitué.
But you could recognize him, like in this picture.
Yeah, Detective Lombardi, come on. Yeah, maybe 25 years ago he looked something like that. I couldn't make it positive.
Well, you made him then, all right?
Well, sure. It was fresh in my mind. I did what I had to do as a citizen then. I ain't gonna be on tap anymore. You know something? Tomorrow's my 65th birthday and my last day here. I'm retiring. I'm going to take my Social Security and go sit on my rump in St. Pete, Florida. And the one thing I'm going to be able to identify for sure are the Mets every spring. And even then, I'm going to need a scorecard. I don't recognize nothing so good anymore.
Look, all I'm asking is for you to hang around a few days, maybe, till I bring him back and to get an ident on him from you.
Oh, sure. And if you do, then you book him. He goes to trial. I either hang around months or you drag me back from Florida. Nah, forget it. Tomorrow night I do my last trick by 12 midnight, and it stopped the world. I'm getting off. Why can't you let the past be?
Don't you think I want to? But first I've got to nail a guy that cut my pop down.
Why don't you let sleeping dogs lie?
Because they're not asleep.
Well, then count me out.
I don't get you, Barney. My mom always told me you were a real friend of my father's.
Well, I knew him. He was a good cop. But I didn't owe him nothing. I mean, he was a customer and I was the bartender, like that.
How come you suddenly have a stake to retire, Barney? I thought the bookies had you nailed to the wall.
Well, you know how it is. You lose a little, you win a little.
Not the word I get. You wouldn't...
You wouldn't be running a little numbers bank out of here.
No. Nothing like that. Look, I'm 65. I got my Social Security, just like any other citizen.
Okay, I won't press you, Barney.
Well, thanks for the favor.
Well, now you can do me one in return.
How's that?
St. Petersburg. It's not so far from where I think I found my man. I'll pay your fare by limousine, if you want it, for you to come over and tell me whether I'm right or wrong.
Oh, no. I already told you I wouldn't know him from the next guy, and I ain't getting involved. I got a lot less future than you left, and that's all I care about. Oh, come on. Get out of my life.
I walked away from Barney so frustrated, I wanted to put my fist through a wall. Why would he want to back down on such a simple request? Something about his attitude, the way he wouldn't look me in the eye, the defensive anger, all of them signs to any good detective that he was covering up something. But what? And why? There's no way I could sweat it out of him. He hadn't broken any law I knew of. He had his rights. But I had to forget about Barney for the moment. There was one more witness to go. Sunnyside, Long Island, a street that was a row of two family houses. One of them was where the cab driver lived who saw my father get shot, if he was still alive.
Yeah?
I'm Detective Lombardi, 45th
Street. Detective?
Oh, now, here are my credentials. Nothing to be scared of, Buster.
Well, I don't see how they could be. We ain't done nothing wrong.
Of course not. Just want to ask you a few questions. I called earlier, but there was no one home.
You know, I just got back from work. If it's about the Skylar girl getting mugged and raped, we don't know nothing about it.
About that. First, is this the home of Mr. Louis Brotman?
Yeah, I'm his son.
He's a cab driver?
Well, he was. He's retired now.
I'd like to ask him a few questions.
Well, he ain't home. He's out taking a walk. I wish he wouldn't stay out so long. The way things are, I don't feel safe if he isn't home before dark. And then he don't know enough to... What kind of questions?
Well, something had happened a long time ago. He saw a man get shot.
Oh, you mean the cop? Oh, sure, Pops told me about that. I was just a kid when it happened, of course.
Yeah, me too. And the cop was my father.
Oh, well, ain't that a shame. Yeah, but they never found the guy who done it, did they?
No, not... Well, I mean, I think we may have turned him up. I wanted your father to help me identify him. I mean, if he can, after all of these years.
Well, I'm afraid he couldn't help you out. Well,
he may not have changed so much.
Well, maybe not, but my father has. Yeah, that's him coming now.
What? You mean the man with a cane?
Yeah, glaucoma, they call it. Happened 5 years ago. First, they thought they could save one eye, but it didn't work out. He's stone blind.
So that left it squarely up to me. I knew the captain wouldn't back me up, not without witnesses to make a case. So it looked like I was going to get that vacation after all. Had to go to Florida, to Miami. But first, there was something else I had to dig out of the files.
I thought you were supposed to be on vacation.
Just about to start. Something I had to check out here first.
You, taking that monkey along for a companion?
Huh?
The one on your back. The one that ought to have been buried in that musty old file you can't keep your nose out of.
Green, I know you mean well, but butt out, huh? There's only one way I'll ever bury that monkey, and that's...
I get your message, Joe. I'll mind my own business. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll get my own messages.
Board file, Officer Green speaking.
Yes, sir.
Sure.
Green's preoccupation with the phone call was just what I needed.
Give me the number.
I took the file out of his sight, riffled through it quickly, and got out the old bench warrant that Judge Arnold had issued. The judge was long dead and the warrant no longer valid, but I had this notion that I might have to use it. By the time Green was through with his phone call, I had the file back on the counter, and he took it and put it away without checking it.
Right, sir.
Well, that was quick. You all through?
Sure.
Okay, now, just let me put this away. Sergeant Croft's got a rush order. See you, Joe.
Aren't you going to wish me luck?
Vacation? What else could you have?
Maybe you're right, Green. I sure hope it turns out that way.
Joe, what are you doing here? Didn't I tell you I didn't want to see you for a month, that you're on a vacation?
I'm heading for Florida in a couple of hours. I just stopped by to pick up couple of things.
Where about you going?
Oh, I figured, like, maybe Miami Beach.
Huh. Miami Beach. Yeah, your father and me once had a trip down there to pick up a prisoner. Hey, before we were both married, that was. And yeah, well, that's better forgotten now. Point was, we made a good friend. I kept up with him. Sam Williams, he's sheriff of Dade County now. You need any help or get in trouble, you... But you're not gonna get in any trouble.
Not if I can help it, Captain Stark. But I just maybe might... could use a little help.
What kind of help?
Well, you know where to go, what to see.
Oh, sure. Well, you call on Sam, tell him you're kind of like a son to me, and he'll darn near make you a present of the whole state. Incidentally, that Santana kid is off the critical list. He's going to be 100%. Now, I've talked with the deputy inspector and the inspector, too, and you won't be busted. You'll get off with just a censure if you keep your nose clean from now on. You get me?
I get you, sir.
Well, you go on down there, boy, and let the sun not only get some tan on you, but also shine inside and... and sort of open you up, huh? Give yourself a chance to start living and stop holding a grudge against the world.
He was such a right guy, I hated to hold out on him. But this gut hunch warned me that he'd never go for what I had in mind. Still, that Sheriff Williams might come in handy to keep me from going all the way. I didn't want to settle it outside the law. But to make up for my father, I was ready to. On the plane, speeding south, I closed my eyes and I tried to imagine what Leslie Peavy would look like now. And just how I'd react when I came face to face with the guy who put a bullet through my father's head. Thinking about it, I was conscious, very conscious, of the empty shoulder holster and my gun checked out with the pilot. By the time we landed, it wouldn't be empty anymore. I'd have my gun back with no license to use it in the state of Florida. Which didn't mean that I wouldn't. I took a bus that turned on Collins Avenue away from the beach. And I ran a good piece before the driver nodded to me to get off. Peavy's auto repair shop had a gas station with it. And it could have used some paint. A couple of cars on the lifts and a bald-headed guy with a permanently peeling red freckled scalp was pumping gas. I walked over to him as the car he was servicing pulled away.
Yes, sir. Hello and welcome to Miami. What'll it be? Gas, oil, wipe your windshield, or are you looking for the men's room?
A comic.
Just try to keep the days bright. Call me George. What can I do for you?
Want to talk to the boss. The Leslie Peavy, right?
Right. And I wouldn't blame you for wanting to. To find a boss right there in the office. Just march on in. I got me a grease job I gotta finish.
The moment was here at last. I could feel a knot in my stomach. The gun under my arm as hot as if I'd left it out in the sun to bake. I headed on in to meet a name I'd known all my life. As long as I could remember.
What is it Detective Joe Lombardi expects to do when he meets the man who killed his father? Try to take him back to New York at gunpoint to stand trial with no witnesses left to appear against him? Or just simply put a bullet through his head with that same gun he has no license to carry in Florida? I'll return shortly with Act Three.
In God We Trust, America Speaks.
In the words of Eleanor Roosevelt, all human beings have failings. All human beings have needs and temptations and stresses. Men and women who live together through long years get to know one another's failings, but they also come to know what is worthy of respect and admiration in those they live with and in themselves. If at the end one can say, this man used to limit the powers that God granted him, he was worthy of love and respect and of the sacrifices of many people, made in order that he might achieve what he deemed to be his task, then that life has been lived well, and there are no regrets.
presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
The war's over. We don't have to think about it anymore. We can pack away those bitter memories. But what about the people who served their country? Can we pack them away and forget them till they're needed again? And can we tell those that are disabled that they're no longer of any use to us? If you're someone with a job to give, can you ignore the fact that over 1 million veterans will need a job this year? Or the fact that their alternative is welfare? What a waste of your tax dollars and their lives. These are responsible men and women with experience, skills, maturity. Even the disabled can still do a job well. The way to get this country working is to get people working. So if you have a job to give, call the National Alliance of Businessmen. Help America work.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
For a moment, Joe Lombardi stops at the glass door looking into the office. There's a small, trim blonde girl sitting working over some books at a desk. The rest of the office is beyond his sight line round a corner. He hesitates because of the girl. There's something about her that somehow dissipates his sense of mission. A sudden aching longing that if this were only a vacation, this is the girl he would want to meet on it. A completely irrational thought, but strong enough to force him to make an effort to thrust it aside and enter.
Good afternoon. Can I help you?
Yes, I'm looking for a Leslie Peavy.
Not anymore, you are.
But what does that mean?
It's like a joke. You're not looking for, you're looking at.
You mean you're the boss?
If you mean do I run this little tourist trap, that's me.
But you can't be.
Haven't you ever heard of women's lib?
Well, that's not what I mean. I mean, I'm looking for a man named Leslie.
For some reason, I seem to have caught you clear off base, mister.
Joe Lombardi.
Mr. Lombardi. But I hate to tell you this. For a pretty good-looking guy, you look kind of funny with your mouth wide open.
That's beside the point. You got any proof that you're Leslie Peavy?
Sure. Have you got any proof you've a right to question it?
These. My credentials.
Oh. Badge 703, Detective Joseph Lombardi, Precinct 45, New York City. It's not a very good picture of you.
Maybe. I wouldn't say that this is a very good picture of you either.
Oh, I quite agree. First of all, it's old enough to be a daguerreotype. And second, it's a man.
Oh, what are you stopping for?
Well, this is an old picture of... Oh. Did you say your name was Lombardi?
That's it.
Oh, no. Oh, no, not now. Not after all these years.
What?
Was your father a policeman, too?
That's right.
I think that maybe you and I better go and talk somewhere.
Why not right here?
Oh, I can think of plenty of reasons. You see, I never knew about you and your father till a couple of years ago, Detective. My mother died when I was born, and I've just always grown up thinking that my last name was Chalmers.
Chalmers?
Well, that was my mother's maiden name, as I found out.
How did you find out?
Well, things were kind of rough for Dad and me while I was growing up. I never understood why he couldn't get better jobs. He had the ability. But he seemed so afraid of people, and we always lived in such small towns that a man just had to take what he could get.
When did you learn your real name?
About 6 years ago. My dad had a cousin who owned a gas station or auto repair, whatever you want to call it, and he died, and he left it to my father. And that's when he... Well, that's when I first learned that my real name was Peavy. I mean, in order to make it legal and everything, my dad couldn't inherit without telling who he really was.
You mean he had to produce his birth certificate, things like that?
Yes, of course. Well, I brought you here. It's the only quiet place that I know in the area. And still be able to look out to the sea.
I wish I could appreciate it with you. I really mean that.
But I can't stop for things like that now.
Well, what are you here for, Detective? To try to drag my father back to trial?
He killed my father. Why wouldn't I?
After all these years, don't you think he's suffered enough?
After all these years, don't you think my mom and I have suffered enough?
This is one of my most favorite spots in the world. The waves rolling in, the gulls. And right down below, in that cove, I found my first starfish.
I don't get what you're saying.
I know. I just wish I could have brought you here under different circumstances. So, Mr. Sleuth, nose to the ground, nostrils wide, mouth panting, you have now tracked down the prey. I wish you joy of it.
Now what?
Now I'm going to do what you want. I'm going to take you to the arch criminal and see just how you're going to arrange for his arrest.
What are we doing here?
This is what is known as a hospital for chronic cases. We are going to visit my father in the terminal ward.
What's the matter with him?
He has cancer. Incurable. Don't be surprised that he doesn't speak in the most dulcet tones. His larynx is affected, too.
I thought maybe I'd made it. I cheated you long enough. So I'd be gone and my daughter wouldn't get hurt.
It isn't that easy. You killed my father, didn't you?
Yes.
Mr. Peavy, nobody wants to kick a man when he's down. But my father, all my life I wanted to make up for him that someone took him out for no reason and wrecked my life and my mother's.
Your father was a fine policeman. Right, Detective?
No one finer.
So, leave it that way.
Now, wait a minute, Dad.
Just leave it that way, Leslie. How about you, Detective? You gonna let it lay?
Why should I?
Because nothing you could do could make me pay more than I already have for that stupid act. I might as well have been in jail for 35 years. One good thing was my daughter here. Leslie, the only person you can hurt is her. Give her a break, please.
I can't. I'm a cop. It's my duty.
I'm not going to take this. Not for myself. I don't care. But for you, Dad. Tell him the truth.
I can't. He wouldn't believe me anyway.
Well, then I will. Listen to me, Mr. Tough Detective. My father shot your father in self-defense. He tried to kill him first.
Sorry, Miss Peavy, it won't wash. My father fired a warning shot in the air.
Oh, the hell he did.
There were two witnesses. They saw the whole thing.
And they lied.
Why would they lie?
Because everybody knew about your father, that he was trigger-happy.
All right, that is enough. I don't blame you for trying to protect your own, but I don't take that from anyone. How could you know anyway?
Because I told her, of course, when I had to tell her my real name. Which brings us round full circle again. Okay?
Dad, you're in pain. Let me get the nurse.
Not for a moment. Let's try to get this straight first. What really happened that night? I was a pretty wild kid. Nothing real bad, but I wasn't always, like they say, on the side of the law. The night it happened, I was at the time running a little book. No connections, just private, penny-ante stuff. And one of my steadies was the bartender, Barney Saunders.
Prosperia, the agony his daughter and I went through listening to that tortured story from a dying man. I can tell it in fewer words with less effort. What Peavy claimed was that Barney Saunders was into him for about 75 bucks. Peavy had had a couple of drinks that night. He went in to collect. Now Barney claimed that he didn't have the dough. He opened the cash register to prove it. And there was a gun, unregistered, in there. And to throw a scare into Barney, Peavy lifted it and threatened if he didn't pay up, he'd have him rubbed out. And that's when my pop came in. Peavy recognized him. Barney pulled the fake hold-up line, and Peavy lost his head and took it on the lam. In his story, when Pop squeezed off, the shot, it went right by his ear, and he could hear it hit metal somewhere and ricochet. With sheer reflex action, a turn back, fire in return, knowing, as he claimed, my father's reputation. I wouldn't even have listened to the story except for two things.
I swear, I never meant it. I never fired a gun in my life. Didn't even know how to aim it.
If you were all that innocent, how come you didn't hang around to defend yourself?
You kidding? You know what happens to a cop killer? What can I prove? And when I read in the papers that Barney and the cab driver lied, I knew I was cooked. I took it on the lam.
But just the same...
What do you want to do? Kill him yourself with your questions? Can't you face the truth when you hear it?
It isn't all that easy.
So, what do you plan to do?
First of all, I've got to make a phone call.
Captain Stark here.
Captain, it's Joe Lombardi from Florida.
Oh.
I found Peavy, Captain. But he's dying of cancer.
Mm.
Can't even count on a week to live.
So, let sleeping dogs lie, Joe.
Maybe, sir. After two questions. Was my father as trigger-happy as you think I am?
Why do you ask?
That's the second question. I always had a notion you dragged your feet some on the case. Was it because that first shot Pop fired wasn't straight in the air?
Now, Joe, we all make decisions and, well, we make mistakes. Sal was my friend. I wanted to protect his memory. And remember, I had no sure proof. Just about where Peavy was standing when he fired, there was a lamppost with a fresh scar on the paint right down to the steel. Could have been made by a bullet, but it ricocheted, of course, so... Well, who's to tell? We never found that bullet.
Thanks, Captain.
Now, Joe, wait a minute. What are you going to do?
I don't know. Captain, I just plain don't know.
Leslie?
Oh, why don't you leave me alone?
I got something to tell you.
Well, I have something to tell you. He's dead. Now are you satisfied?
No.
What are you going to do? Hound me?
No. I'm going to drive you home, if you'll let me.
Oh, I don't know. All right, what's the difference? I don't think I could see to drive anyway. What made you drive back here?
I don't know. Good place for confession, maybe.
Confession?
I'm just like my father was. I can see that now. Oh, I had a big excuse to get back at the world, but that wasn't really me.
Well, who was it?
I was a kid trying to live up to a kind of idol that my mother built and who, heaven help her, wanted revenge and made me the way to get it. Maybe I don't blame her too much. She didn't mean it, but to suddenly find out after all these years that my pop... Well...
All right, Joe.
I'm sorry. I don't know what...
It's all right. Let it go. We both have to get it out of our systems. I had to when I first found out about my father. I mean, who he really was and what he'd done. If it hadn't been for the cancer,
Well, that part of it's all over now.
I don't know how to apologize. Grown man acting like that.
Oh, you were just trying to get rid of the little boy. Like I had to get rid of the little girl. We both had bad luck with fathers.
Does that make us two of a kind?
I don't know. What are you going to do now, Joe?
Well, I still have over 3 weeks of vacation time coming. Maybe if I stay down here, could we see each other?
I guess we could. I have no one else.
Me neither. Leslie Peavy and Joe Lombardi. The last two people I ever figured could make a deal.
Wait a minute. Let's not rush things.
Who's rushing anything? We've got 3 whole weeks.
It took a while longer than 3 weeks for Leslie and Joe to iron out the past, but they did. And as we quoted William Congreve in the beginning, not only murder will out, but eventually so did love. I'll be back shortly.
I enjoyed flying. I just got an immense pleasure out of flying. Can't describe it. It's just something that, you know.
I don't know. I guess basically my whole being is based on adventure, on the challenge of flying an aircraft, knowing that you have the responsibility for a multi-million dollar aircraft. And that responsibility that it gives you makes your life significant, makes my life anyway.
To me, flying is something that gives me a lot more freedom in understanding myself. I get to find my own fears and faults when I'm up alone. There's no one else to help me. No one else to grab the controls and pull me out of the spin. It's up to me.
The flight training they're giving me, what it's worth, I couldn't even start to make in a lifetime.
It takes a special type of person.
Learn to fly in the Navy. If you're going to be something, why not be something special? One bone of contention before they were married was whether to run the gas and auto repair shop or have Joe return to the force. It was Leslie who finally convinced him to. A wise woman, she knew the best way to atone for all the past was for Joe to become the kind of police officer he always should have been. Servant of the people, not an avenging force. It's Lieutenant Joe Lombardi now. And his name stands top of the list to replace his old friend and surrogate father, Captain Stark, just as soon as he retires. Our cast included Mason Adams, Marion Seldes, Robert Maxwell, Leon Janney, and Gilbert Mack. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Corey, if you walk out of here and don't tell me why...
Look, Inga, order some lunch. Have the roast beef, darling. It's good here. And I'll call you.
If you go now, I don't want you ever to call me.
Go ahead, slam the door in my face.
I really should do exactly that.
And I wouldn't blame you. On the other hand, if you let me in, I'll tell you the whole story. I wanted to tell you the whole thing before, but I couldn't. That was part of the deal. I had to get Ray's approval. So I went to him this afternoon and he okayed it.
Well, how nice of Ray.
He even liked the idea of your knowing. I'm his slave, Inga. I'm Ray Chaffee's personal slave.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is KOIN in Portland. News is next.
CBS News. President Ford hearkens to conservative Republican themes at a GOP fundraiser in Cleveland and told reporters a proposed European summit conference may not come off as planned. Good morning, I'm Mike Stanley, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Mr. Ford took a firm stand against welfare state spending to the rousing cheers of GOP faithful at a fundraising dinner. The president took a page out of the book of the late Senator Robert Taft in the state where conservative Taft political philosophy first took root, saying the country needs stronger free enterprise and tighter controls on spending and less interference by costly big government in the lives of the American people. During the day, in other speeches, Mr. Ford defended his veto record by saying he has saved the taxpayers an estimated $6 billion in federal spending, and he departed from prepared text to call for an end to price regulation of natural gas, predicting a very serious shortage in the Midwest this winter. On Air Force One, flying back to Washington, the president told reporters it's not certain he's going to Finland this month for the proposed summit meeting of the European Security Conference. He said representatives of 35 nations now in Helsinki are trying to determine if enough progress has been made to permit a summit wind-up by the end of this month. CBS News continues following this message.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect, with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now, at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
Hi, I'm Mike Roy here with Denny Bracken to tell you all about the holiday cooking thing tomorrow over the CBS Radio Network.
Oh, I see we have an indoor-outdoor 4th of July fantasy planned for tomorrow here.
Well, yeah. Not exactly. This is one of those beautiful broiler things you do over the charcoal called chicken shish kebab.
If it rains, move the charcoal indoors. Eh?
That's right, and put out the lights and call the law, because we're going to have chicken flambe tomorrow.
Oh, finger-licking good things for the holiday weekend. Compliments Mike Roy's cooking thing right here on the CBS Radio Network.
Talks resumed in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Thursday night between representatives of the Commonwealth and striking state employees. It was the first bargaining session since the wage dispute work stoppage began 3 days ago. Agricultural damage estimates now run to $1.5 billion in North Dakota and $100 million in Minnesota as the result of flooding triggered by weekend rains. More than 1 million acres of croplands were inundated, virtually wiping out the area's crops this year and possibly affecting next year's plantings. 2 Las Vegas City employees are missing and feared dead after being swept away by flash flooding following cloudbursts in the mountains. The men were directing traffic when they were washed away. In London, Scotland Yard detectives this morning are questioning 4 people in connection with the discovery of an arms cache believed linked to an international guerrilla network. Police, who previously arrested 2 women and a man, announced Thursday night they had apprehended a 3rd woman in their hunt for an assassin wanted in France. He's a suspect in the Paris killing last week of 2 counterintelligence agencies and an informer. More news after this.
No matter where you live or where you travel, disaster can threaten any time, any place. And you may be there. If you hear a tornado, flood, or hurricane alert, do you know what to do to protect yourself and others? Listen.
Well, after the electricity went off, we kept listening to the transistor radio for advisories from the National Weather Service. If we hadn't had that radio, we wouldn't have known when to evacuate. We just had time to grab some blankets and important papers. The house is pretty well wrecked. If we'd stayed in it, I don't know what would have happened.
The American Red Cross can help before an emergency happens. We can give you preparedness tips and safety instructions which could save your life. That's one reason why we're called the Good Neighbor. Remember, don't wait for disaster to strike. Learn what to do today. Call your local Red Cross chapter for information.
Thank heaven I called the Red Cross ahead of time. That way at least we knew what to do.
The Independence Day observance this year is a 3-day holiday beginning on Friday, but confusion continues about other holidays involving Mondays. Bernard Shaw has that story.
A major change in the federal Monday holiday law is in the works on Capitol Hill. Airlines, railroads, bus lines, hotels, motels, and stores like the long 3-day weekends. One expert claims weekend expenditures in tourism have risen to $11 billion a year. But there's confusion with some states observing holidays on dates other than those mandated by Congress. Some banks, city, and state offices are open, federal offices are closed, parents get a day off, their children are in school. The American Legion, VFW, and other veterans groups are lobbying hard to return Veterans Day to its traditional November 11th spot instead of the 4th Monday in October. They got 45 state legislatures to roll back observance to November 11th. The U.S. Senate has passed a bill to change back, and a House version is in committee. But there's one snag. The calendar industry lobby is screaming disaster if it has to destroy more than 200 million calendars printed up through 1977. So Congress is agreeing not to make the change effective till 1978. Bernard Shaw, CBS News, Washington.
The United States bicentennial year begins today with President Ford speaking at Fort McHenry in Baltimore. That was the site of the 1814 battle during which Francis Scott Key wrote the Star-Spangled Banner. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
There's a quarrel over the new business license tax in effect in Multnomah County. One of the county commissioners says that the collection of that tax on very small operators amounts to harassment. Dan Mosey wants the exemption limit from a business raised from $25,000 gross income to $5,000 net income. And after failure to get the fact to his back his arguments, Mosey suggested another change yesterday. Collect the tax ourselves instead of letting the city do it.
I think we are much better qualified. This is the same issue but a different issue, but it ties together. To handle this program ourselves, the city has indicated that if we did pass this, they wouldn't want to handle the program anyway. They've already charged us $22,000 plus. The information we're able to get out of them is almost nil. They're completely incompetent.
Board Chairman Don Clark wouldn't go that far, but did express some dissatisfaction with the way the city handled the initial collection of the tax. The issue of changing the exemption and perhaps the method of collection has been postponed indefinitely until Mosey gets the figures. Slightly enriched uranium oxide, the fuel that will be used in the Trojan nuclear power plant near Rainier, will start arriving about July 10th. Portland General Electric says it will take about 8 weeks for all of the 194 fuel assemblies to arrive by truck from South Carolina. The fuel will be stored at the 1.1 million kilowatt plant until installation later this year. Eugene Mayor Les Anderson has been appointed to the Oregon Field Sanitation Committee. Anderson replaces Oregon State University professor Fred Burgess, who's resigning his post on the committee, the successor to the Oregon Field Burning Committee. The new committee has the responsibility of monitoring and developing programs for alternative field situation methods and utilization and disposal of grass seed straw. Oregon Labor Commissioner Bill Stevenson has announced that the operator of the Turquoise Room nightclub in Portland has been found guilty of racial discrimination. Stevenson said Thursday that Nahaya Incorporated must pay $6,500 in damages to three persons who claim they were denied entrance to the nightclub on a racial ground. The incidents happened in the summer and fall of 1972, and the awards of damages result from a hearing before the Bureau of Labor earlier this year. The case can be appealed to the Oregon Court of Appeals. And despite arguments over who owns the real estate, the Portland Parks Bureau has repaired Mill Ends Park. The 463-square-inch city park, in a traffic island, was damaged when somebody cut the corner and left tire tracks all over the place. The Parks Bureau and the Department of Public Works have been arguing over who owns the manhole-sized park. The weather for the Portland metropolitan area, mostly sunny after morning clouds today and Saturday, a little warmer, highs in the upper 70s today, near 80 Saturday. Winds light becoming northwest 5 to 15 miles per hour in the afternoon. Chance of measurable rain, 10% today and tonight. At the airport, it's clear, temperature 60, relative humidity 84%, wind from the east at 4 miles per hour, barometer reading at even 30 and falling slowly. In downtown Portland, it's a mild 63 degrees. That's KOIN News at 1209. This is Alan Archer. Forgetting birthdays.
Belfast, it's after midnight. In London and Paris, it's midday. Late afternoon in Moscow. Tomorrow morning in Tokyo. With CBS News all night long, you're a step ahead on tomorrow's news. Hear it all, right here.